All right. Well, it is so good, like I said, to see you. And if you want to turn over to Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We have a wonderful passage here. And so instructive for us in today's day of desperation and anxiety. And God has an answer. Let's read that. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so the name of our study, it's different in your bulletin, but I'm always thinking through these things. And I changed it to Replacing Anxiety with Prayer. I think it's a little bit more accurate. And what we're doing right now is we're closing up the book of Philippians, and we're going through chapter 4, and Paul is warning us about those things that would steal our joy, and he is telling us about those things that would enhance our joy. And we seem to have consistent joy. We must get along with others. That's verses 2 and 3. We seem to have consistent joy. We must choose to rejoice, to obey the command to have joy. That's verse 4. And then we saw to have this joy, there must be a reasonableness about us. That's verse 5. Now, in today's lesson, it's Paul's fourth element in this chapter where he's talking about the joy enhancers. He says we're commanded not to be anxious about anything. Now, that just makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you are a person filled with anxiety and filled with worry, you're not going to be a person who also has joy, are you? And so Paul says, for you to have joy, you have to learn how to deal with your anxiety. And so we all know, listen, when he says anxiety, we all know what he's talking about. That's not rocket science, because many of us are professionals in this area, aren't we? I mean, we know how to have anxiety. It's that nervous irritation that is constantly, it seems like, nagging at you, gnawing at you mentally, robbing you of peace of mind. So Paul says if we're to experience consistent joy, we have to learn how to deal with that. In this passage, Paul tells us how to do that. And so we have a command here not to do something, to let go of something, let go of your anxiety. We have then the instruction on what to replace that with. Replace your anxiety with prayer. And then at the end there, he says, here is the result if you'll do that, and it's peace. And so here's our outline. Four things: do not be anxious about anything, pray about everything, then we're going to look at the peace of God, and then we're going to look at the people who enjoy that kind of peace. So first of all, do not be anxious about anything. Here's the command not to do something. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Radical, isn't it? I mean, right away, that's radical. Again, the Bible doesn't mess around. The Bible's not worried about, well, they're going to think this is too big, too great. God just simply says through the pen of Paul, write this. Tell them not to be anxious about anything. And now you must realize this is not some trite bit of advice like we're so used to hearing, right? Like the world is so used to giving. I've heard it so many times. You're in trouble. Somebody comes along, pats you on the back and says, cheer up. Really? Do you have any reason why I should? Can you give me something more than that? Or this one. I love this one. You're in some genuine peril, fear-producing stuff, and somebody says, don't be afraid. You know what they say? Biggest thing to fear is fear itself. Hey, thanks. Biggest fear is fear itself. Okay, I get it, but I don't want to be afraid. You know, I understand that fear is the thing that's conquering me right now, but do you have anything that could help? Biggest thing about fear is fear itself. Great, thanks. You know, what about this one? There's always the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, by Bobby McFerrin. Listen to this. These are great words, aren't they? Here's something I'm going to hang my hat on. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Ain't got, now listen to this. This is, ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Look at me, I'm happy. But does that help? Not once did Bobby McFerrin give us a reason why we should be happy. Right? I'm supposed to look at him He's happy, and for some reason that's supposed to make me happy. Well, listen, dude, I know why you're happy. You're making $1 million off this song, and you've got a place to lay your head, and the landlord's not going to litigate with you because you're getting rich. But I need more than that. And you know the problem is that some people in the world hang on to things like that. Don't worry, be happy. And they go, that's my song. And you know the reason I know that? Is because at one point in my life, I was doing things like that. Before I knew the Lord, I was a child in the drug culture, and I had done a lot of drugs. I had taken LSD, and I had a bad trip on LSD. And for a couple years, I thought I was going insane. And I was having panic attacks, going through all this. And you know what I tried to do? I was grasping for anything. And you know one of the things I grasped onto was a song as trite as that. And it was, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone, by Johnny Nash. Now, let me give you those words. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that have me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain has gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is the rainbow I've been praying for. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Look all around. There's nothing but blue sky. Look straight ahead. Nothing but blue sky. I mean, I was desperate. And I was grasping for anything. I thought, that's my song. You know what? It didn't help. Why? Because it gave me no truth. There's nothing there that's going to tell me why there's going to be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I'm going insane. And yet, I'm clinging to something that trite. Unfortunately, that's happening all around us. You hear it so much. Clever little technique. Shallow sayings. People are desperately clinging to these things. And there's just no power there to overcome the giants of fear and anxiety. This is one reason why I love the Bible. One reason why I love my Savior is because He rescues us. He gives us our life back. He says, don't worry, and I'm going to tell you why. I've got something here to back these words up that's powerful, that's life-changing, that will rescue you. I've got something that will work. This is the truth from our Creator saying, I've designed life in such a way that these instructions really work. Plus, these thoughts come from somebody practicing these things, right? What you've got here is a man celebrating life, rejoicing in a prison cell, who is facing a possible death sentence, yet there is such a triumphant tone in his writing. He is suffering in a way that would make most of our problems seem so light, but out of the darkness of that uncertainty, he writes, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And he gives us the reasons why we can do that. And then he writes, don't be anxious about anything. But Paul, you're facing a death sentence, maybe. You're chained in a prison. And you're telling me, don't be anxious about anything. And he says, yes, I'm not. I'm rejoicing. I want to teach you how to do the same thing. So this comes from the pen of somebody who's living it, who has victory in life over his anxiety. And so when I see somebody with his background, who's living the way he lives, and he says, I'm going to help you live that way. You know what? I want to perk up spiritually and say, I want to learn from a man like that. What are you doing, Paul? Show me so I can follow in your footsteps so I can have victory over my anxiety too. And so Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. And then the next one he says, pray about everything. And what he does here is he gives us a three-step cure for anxiety. Look at verse 6 again. Do not be anxious about anything. In other words, stop doing that. Then he goes, do this instead. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The extent of this command, again, is amazing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. God says, I command you. Don't be anxious. And I command you, in all of those things that were causing anxiety, here's my command. Cast it on me. Give it to me. What is great about that is, you know what God is doing here? God is giving us the permission to take everything to Him. In other words, He is saying, listen, there is no restrictions here. There is no, hey, I am running the universe and you're going to bring that to me? Really? No, there's none of that. What God is saying here is, if it's big enough to give you anxiety at all, it's big enough to bring it to me. And I want you to. So He gives us complete freedom to bring it all to Him. And He repeats it in a different way in 1 Peter 5, 7. Listen to this. He says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Isn't that good? Cast all your anxiety. All of it. If there's anything causing you anxiety, God says, cast it on me. And in the Greek, it literally means throw it on Him. Throw it on Him. You're not meant to carry it. He says, throw it over to me and I'll take it. Why? Because I care for you. Because I love you. I have a loving Father who says, just give it to me. My love is expressed in caring for you when you're anxious. Now, the glory of this command is this. As Christians, we have somewhere to go with problems, right? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I am not turning on a radio in my car and hoping that bright, sunshiny day is going to come on. I used to live that way. I hope that comes on. No, I carry around truth every day with me that I can say, God, He's told me to do this. And it works. I have a loving Father in heaven. A loving Father in heaven. That amazes me. I never had a good dad. I had a dad who left me, who I couldn't trust, who used to take things from me. If I had money, my dad would steal it sometimes. He was an alcoholic. And so, one of the greatest things for me as a Christian is to say, wait a minute, now I have the perfect Father. I have the Father I always dreamed of in heaven who says, I'll take care of you, Bill. And I can go to Him with anything. To me, that's amazing. So God wants to take care of us and tells us how to take advantage of that. He tells us it happens through prayer. But it's a prayer that's comprised of three elements. You have to see this. All three of these elements is essential. And so let's look at those. First thing He says, but everything in prayer. Now, the term in the Greek here is not speaking of petition. We're going to get to that. But this term in the Greek is speaking more of relationship, more of worship and adoration. It speaks of really the attitude of the heart before we have the action of petitioning. And so what it does is it's speaking of a genuine communing with our Father first. And isn't that what God desires in prayer? Listen, we're so prone to having needs and going in and saying, God, I need, thank you, see ya. And off we go. But God wants something deeper than that in the prayer life. And so I think what this is, this word, it's really talking about the seeking of the soul to draw near to God, sitting quietly, gazing upon Him, contemplating who He is, what He's like, what His love is like. It is submitting to His authority. It is trusting Him in what's come into our lives, saying, God, I know you never make a mistake in what you allow. I trust you. It's drawing near. And so this cure for anxiety, please get this. Let's not get too technical with this. This cure for anxiety begins simply with being with Him. Do you see that? Simply drawing near to Him in relationship, spending time conversing, adoring. That's where peace begins. It begins when we get close to Him, sense His love. See, God wants that, doesn't He? Why do you think God put in Romans 8 the cry in our heart, Abba, Father? It's because God wants the experience of that father-child relationship with us. And God wants us to experience that child-father relationship with Him. He wants us to experience that intimacy of the child going to their loving father and just laying everything out at His feet and saying, I trust you. I trust you. And that's where peace begins. It has to begin there, in the depth of that relationship. And that's why He uses this word first. It's what Jesus said in the model prayer. Remember how Jesus started the model prayer? He said, way down, I think it's number 4 in the list, give us this day our daily bread. That's number 4. What is number 1? Our Father. See that? Jesus is saying in the model prayer, the first thing you want to take care of in prayer is you want to make sure that it's deepening your relationship with God, your Father. And everything else will flow out of that. But I think if all our prayer life consists of is, God, help me see you, thanks, I don't think you're going to have any peace. Why? Because you're not drawn near to Him, the peace giver. And like I've said before, it's hard to trust a stranger. It's hard to have peace when you don't know God, when you're not intimate with Him. Thomas Brooks said, the grand design of God in all the afflictions that befall His people is to bring them nearer and closer to Himself. So remember that. When you have needs, that need, first of all, is meant to draw you closer and closer to God to then satisfy your greatest need, which is a deeper relationship with Him. And then out of the depth of that relationship, then peace begins to flow. And so the first thing you need, if you're filled with anxiety today, is the first thing you need is you need to get to your Father. And you need to just lay it at His feet. And you just need to be honest. And you just need to trust Him. You just need to say, Father, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I'm worried. I need your help. You say to cast whatever is causing me anxiety on you. I do that. And Father, help me to do that. I trust you. And sometimes, you know what? Your prayer just needs to be so honest. I remember praying things like this. Father, you've said, cast this upon you. And I can't. I want to. And in this one, this is hurting me so much. It is so intimate. It's got such a grip on my life. I just don't know how to give it to you. I want to, but I don't know how. So, Father, let's start there. Will you teach me how to give it to you and how to leave it with you? Because it's crushing me, and I don't know how to do that. Have you ever prayed like that? That's just honest, isn't it? And you know what? Those areas where I've done that, where I've said, Father, I don't know how to give it to you, and I don't know how to rest in this area. You know what? Looking back now, He's taught me how to do that. I'm not perfect in these things, but you know what? I'm resting a lot more in those areas I didn't think I'd ever rest in. And it started with an honest prayer. I trust you to change my heart. I trust you to teach me how to do this. I don't know how. And He'll take care of you there. And He'll begin it right there. So in everything causing you worry, the cure to that starts right here. You've got to get close to Him. You've got to let that need drive you nearer to Him as your loving Father. It begins right there. And your problems are designed to develop a greater intimacy with Him. When they do that, that's the beginning of peace. So we start here. Relationship, trusting your Father who loves you. Then we go to the next step. Now we've got our petition. Now that relationship is being established, now that God's more than just a genie in the sky who I'm saying, do this, do that, do that, thanks, see ya. Now I'm establishing a relationship with my loving Father. Then it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Here is the petition part. Here we pour out our heart to God and unburden our soul. Here's where we start dealing with the specifics that are bothering us. God, I ask you for help in this, and this, and this. Father, I remember you're my Father. I've dealt with that. I've thought that one through. I'm going to a loving Father who wants to take care of me. Here's, Lord, the problems. I just want to talk it over with you. And this by itself is a therapeutic kind of endeavor, isn't it? I've noticed a lot of times in counseling, a lot of times when you counsel, people really, I don't know if they're looking for real answers or not. What they're looking for is just somebody who will finally just sit and listen. Isn't that right? And you know what? Our Father will always sit and listen. Scriptures call Him the Wonderful Counselor, right? And go find out why He's called that. Go and unburden your soul. Go and be brutally honest. God, I'm supposed to love you with all my heart. I don't feel like I love you at all right now. I feel so indifferent and apathetic. I'm supposed to be taking all my worries to you. I don't feel like going to you at all. It's just honest. He knows. But then at the end of that, say, help me. Help me fight off this indifference and apathy. He'll help. The loving Father. He's not up there thinking, how dare you, indifferent and apathetic, you're going to bring that to me? No, He'll help. He loves you. Just go be honest. Take your cares to Him. Throw them on Him. Give them to Him and leave them there. Leave them there. Once you do give the petitions to Him, what's bothering you, leave it there. That's a hard thing, isn't it? I've noticed that I'm really good at taking things to Him. And then I'm really good at taking them back. So go take them to Him and leave them. That's faith. And then when those things try to creep back into your life, you've got to fight it with faith and say, I've left it with God. I've given it to Him. And I'm not going to take it back again. Why should I be worried now when I've given that away? You know, we pray, I think, too many times. We pray and then act like we haven't prayed at all. You notice that? You got a problem in your life, and you're, oh, Father, I just give this to You. And I trust You. I trust Your love. I trust Your care. And then we get up off our knees or we end our prayer, and it's like within a millisecond, we walk away as worried as we were when we prayed. And I'm learning to say, you know what, Bill? Act like you just prayed. Act like you've just talked with your loving Father. Act like He's heard it. Don't get up off your knees and then just act like that was a wasted effort. He's heard you. Now rest. Trust Him. That prayer makes a difference. Have faith, Bill. Have God-honoring faith, Bill. These are all things we learn as we go along, aren't they? It's just all things we're learning. I wish I was really good at all this. I'm better than I was. But I'm learning. Brings us to the third step necessary in this anxiety-defeating prayer. First of all, we just go in and it's relationship. I'm going to my Father. Spend a little time there on that. This is my loving Father. Think that through. Let that warm your heart. Who you're talking to. You're not talking to some cold energy out there. I'm with my loving Father. And then unburden your soul with what bothers you. And then the third thing is thanksgiving. You end your prayer with thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, we have a tendency, I think, to skip steps 1 and 3, don't we? Spend a little time thinking about who He is and that relationship we're in, and then the thanksgiving, all that's like, no thanks. I'll just do step 2. And then we wonder why we still have so much anxiety and why prayer is not working. Listen, God gave us 3 elements of prayer that deals with anxiety. Why? Because all 3 are necessary. He's not wasting ink here. Why would we think that it would work if we only do 1 or 2 out of the 3? Now, let me put this in terms that we can all understand. We all have cars out there, and with our cars, we get a user manual, don't we? Now, in that user manual, you'll find that for that car to run right, for its engine, you need 3 things, right? You need water to keep it cool. You need oil to keep the friction down. And you need gasoline to power it. Now, let's say you thought, you know what? Gasoline's getting kind of expensive, so I'll do the oil and the water. And eventually, right, your car stops, and you call up the dealer and say, oh, what's the problem? Brand new car. You know, it's not even running. Won't even turn on. They go, let's see. Have you followed? You got oil in there? Of course. Water? Yeah. Gasoline? Yeah, you know. I decided I'd skip that. That's a step I think that's unnecessary. What would they tell you? Dummy? You need all 3 of those for your car to run. What would God say to us? In a loving way? Dummy? I gave you 3 things in the manual for life. If you looked up anxiety, how to deal with it in the manual of life, it'd take you right here to Philippians 4. And there's 3 things. And for prayer to work correctly in this area, God says it takes 3 things. Now, why thanksgiving? Why is that so powerful that God says, mingle this into your prayer? Because thanksgiving forces you to think biblically, doesn't it? I mean, when I'm going through these problems that there's all kinds of stress, I need to think. We saw that last week. We need to think scripturally. Thanksgiving forces me to do that. I think, how can I be thankful here? And I start thinking through it, and I think things like this. God, I thank You that You're in control of the situation. I thank You that even in these difficult times that You have promised me that they'll all work out for my good. that this is developing me. This will not destroy me. I thank you that you said you won't give me more than I can handle. I thank you over in Isaiah, you said that even though it seems like I'm walking through the waters, that the waters will not go over my head. I thank you, Lord, that the God who is in control of everything is working everything out in this. That I am going to look back on this with a thankful heart. That this is making me exactly what I want to be, more like your Son. I thank you. And what it does is it forces me to realize that there are a lot of reasons why I can thank Him. And the more I start thanking Him, have you noticed that? The more you start thanking Him, the more peace starts coming in. Wait a minute, this isn't out of control. God is in control. He's sovereign. He's working out great things in my life. God, I thank you for all of the promises. And I start reminding myself of the promises. That's building in faith and peace. So it causes me to think scripturally. Another thing it causes me to do, it keeps me from begging in prayer. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we're in trouble, you know, you can get into this where kind of, oh God, please, 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 please. And it's almost like we get into this sort of, I've got to convince God to help me somehow. Please, and we're begging Him. You know, I don't see many begging prayers in the Bible. One day I was going through all that begging God kind of thing. I thought, wait a minute, who does that in the Scriptures? Please, God, help me. Please, God, help me. Like He doesn't want to. And if I just beg Him enough, maybe He will. You know what? He wants to help you. And so what I see in the Bible more than that is I see thanksgiving. Prayer, and I thank you, Father. And I know you love me. And I know you've said, cast my anxieties on you. So you're not reluctant to take this. You want them. So God, here they are, and I thank you that you've taken them. And I thank you that you're going to help in your timing and in your way. It's not going to always be the way I want. But in your timing and in your way, God, you're going to move. And I thank you for that. And so this kind of keeps us from begging in a way that is, I think, a way that just keeps us from feeling that peace we should have, knowing that peace we should have, because we always feel like we're begging a reluctant God. How much better to give your request, bank on the promises, say you want them, you've commanded this, you are going to work in a way that is for my good, and I thank you for that. Won't you get up off your knees a little bit more peaceful if that's the way you're approaching it? I've found that I have. And I want you to see something here also that we've got to see. This is not saying that God's going to change our circumstances. Notice that? Has nothing to do with circumstances. He may change our circumstances. He may not. But what this is saying is that He will change you. Who's changing in this passage? You are. You enter into this passage filled with worry and anxiety, and you come out of this passage with peace. You changed. Now, God may change your circumstances, but those circumstances may be what's necessary in your life to change you. And God wants you to trust Him in those circumstances and to have peace even in the midst of adversity. And that's what happens here. He says, I'll change you. I'll teach you how to go through adversity by going through this, by drawing near to me as your Father, by giving me those things that are bothering you, and then by thanking me, bringing me back into the picture scripturally, realizing you're not on your own, but God is here, and here's all the reasons I can thank Him for. His power and His ability, His loving care and promises, trusting His wisdom that He never makes a mistake in what He brings into our life. God says when we start doing that, handling our anxiety like that, anxiety is swallowed up in the immensity of who God is and His truth. That brings us to the next point, the result of this kind of prayer, the peace of God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So God's response to this kind of prayer, He gives us the gift of peace. He gives that to us. Notice it's the peace of God. It's not our peace. That's just been kind of whipped up. It's the peace of God. And if I could have anybody's peace, it would be His peace. Right? Why? He's not worried about anything. He's not up in heaven going, it's out of control. No, nothing's out of control to Him. Everything's right on time. And so God has perfect peace. And He says, listen, that's what I want to give to you in the middle of your anxiety. And if you've experienced it, it's hard to explain, isn't it? If you've ever experienced this kind of peace of God, it says here it surpasses all understanding. And that's exactly right. Because you're in a situation where you're thinking, man, I probably should be panicked here. That would be the natural thing. But there's just this inner tranquility that is just so wonderful that you yourself, it's hard for you to understand, let alone tell somebody else about it. William MacDonald said this, "The peace of God is a sense of holy repose which floods the soul of the believer." And listen to this, "when he's leaning hard upon God." Isn't that good? I love that saying. "The peace of God is a sense of holy repose which floods the soul of the believer when he is leaning hard upon God." There it is. That's what the Scripture is saying. Lean hard upon God. Go to Him with everything that's bothering you as your Father and just give it to Him and trust Him. Lean hard upon Him. And as you're leaning hard upon Him, trusting Him, He gives you His peace. This incredible tranquility that comes into our soul. It says this, "peace will guard our hearts and minds." Now, peace that guards, what that is, that guarding is a military term. And it meant a sentry marching around something that was valuable. Guarding it, protecting it, so that it couldn't be taken or couldn't be harmed. And that's what God is saying here. As we learn to handle life's anxieties in the correct way, as this verse explains, we find that God begins to respond by putting His peace on duty, guard duty, in our life. Marching as a sentry around our mind, around our emotions, around our thoughts, bringing in a calm. Keeping anxiety from overwhelming us or dominating us. And again, that is one of the wonderful advantages of being a Christian. We have a place to go when we're anxious, when we feel life is crushing us. Psalm 61:3, David said, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." Isn't that good? David said, when anxiety comes in, when I'm feeling crushed, I run to you and you're that strong tower where the enemy can't get to me. Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." That's what this verse is saying. God is your stronghold. God is your strong tower. He is your refuge. Whatever is bothering you, you run to Him. And you find your peace there in the protection of His love and who He is. Again, notice what's being changed. It's you being changed. He wants to change you through your needs. Every need that you have in your life, everything that's causing anxiety, He wants that to drive you to Him so that you start learning what His love is like. So you start enjoying that relationship you have with Him. So you start looking upon Him as your loving Father, that perfect Father, that Father you've always dreamed of having. And you start walking through life daily, trusting Him. Living upon His love, depending upon His care. See, your needs are meant to get you to that place, to where peace becomes something that's characteristic of your life, to where you've learned how to handle anxiety. Now, notice who this is for, the people who enjoy this peace. This freedom from anxiety is for a very select audience, isn't it? Again, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Listen, you can't have this peace if you're at war with God. This is only for those who have given their life to Him, His precious children. And this is a gift from the Father to His children who have come to Him, who are depending upon Him, who are trusting Him, who are leaning hard upon Him. It is for those who have seen their need of a Savior. Those who have seen that I'm guilty before a holy God. I'm in trouble here. I'm at war with my Creator. There is no peace there with Him. I'm in a conflict. And I'm going to lose. I'm guilty before a holy God. It's for those who have seen that. Who have seen that the only solution for that is that God has put His own Son on a cross. That's how much He loves you. Talk about wanting to take care of your needs. He's taking care of your greatest need. by putting His own precious Son on a cross so that you could be free from the guilt of sin and stand before Him innocent. So God has done that for you. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your Savior, if you are still guilty before a holy God, guilty of sin, you need to take advantage of what God has done. And you need to cast yourself upon His mercy and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Cleanse me of my sin. Make me your child. I no longer want to stand against you. I no longer want to fight you. See my need. Save me. The Bible says anyone who comes to Him like that, He won't cast out. He will save. And for those who do that, then God says, now bring all of your needs. You've brought your greatest need to me. You're a sinner. I've taken care of that. Place those sins on my Son. I've cleansed them there. And now I want you from this point on to bring everything else. I want to take care of you. Think of that. Almighty God in heaven, the Father says, I want to take care of you. I want to. I am committing myself to take care of you. That's what all the promises are for, right? I am committing myself to take care of you. And so I want you to bring it all to me. And I will. What a loving Father we have. So we live in an age filled with fear and anxiety. And you have some options to deal with that anxiety. I mean, each one of us do. You came in here maybe worried about a lot of things. I've just got to ask you, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that worry and that anxiety? Are you going to do what the world does? I mean, you can drink, you can take drugs, you can go out and deaden the pain through all kinds of things, entertainment and this and that. And you know what? The pain comes back. Or you can take it to your loving Father. Say, Lord, here it is. Father, here it is. I'm going to draw near to you. I want to enjoy this relationship. I trust you. I want to give you all of those things that are causing me anxiety. I want to leave them with you. I'm going to believe that you meant what you said when you said you want to take care of me. And so I just trust you with this. Just trust you. Leave them there. And then end with thanksgiving. I thank you, Father, that you've taken it. And I thank you that you're strong enough to deal with even this. And I thank you that you're going to make sure that even this turns out for my good. That this is going to develop me, not destroy me. And so, Father, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for who you are. I'm grateful that I'm your child. I'm grateful that I can just leave this all with you. Thank you. The promise of a life lived closely to God, trusting Him like that, is peace. And so that's how you want to handle your anxieties, isn't it? God is good. And God has given us solutions for our worry. How we need this promise today and how we need to use it in our life. Apply it. So I pray that each one of us will start practicing this in our life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've written this manual for life. I thank you in this, you've clearly detailed a way to handle our anxieties. It all begins with a loving Father who wants to take care of us. Father, I pray that we would see that. I pray that every one of our needs, Lord, that are now in our life, Lord, that you would remind us that that is meant to drive us to you. Into a deeper, closer relationship with you, where we'll truly find peace and joy. So, Father, I pray that we would stop playing on the peripherals and the outside of Christianity, really, kind of on the borderlands. And Lord, that we would run to you, draw near to you, trust you, give it all to you, and live in the peace that you want to give us. Thank you that we have a loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen.